Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Nun Zayin. We're on Nun Vav Amud Beis. We're starting with the Mishnah. We're going to be discussing here in the sixth parak a little bit about Achilas Truma and a woman's ability to eat Truma because she's married to a Kohen. Let's go over some of the things that we learned yesterday before starting with the Mishnah. Some basic rules. Excuse me. A woman once married to a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. But when we say that, a little more clarification, a little more amplification. The marriage comes in two stages, as we've discussed numerous times. First, there's Kedushin, that's step one of marriage. Now, remember, after Kedushin, they're married. They're husband and wife. If she wants to exit at that point in time, she's going to need to get. But they don't live together, and they're not in the same house together. And he does not have to financially support her, and that only comes at the second stage of marriage, Nisuin. Nisuin, where he brings her into his house. Nisuin is effected through chuppah. I'll try to explain that a little bit better later this morning. So the second stage of marriage now, where he has all the financial responsibilities and obligations to provide and take care of her. So at that point in time now, they're fully married. So at what point in time now in a relationship between a Kohen and his wife, can she eat Truma? Kohen's allowed to, entitled to eat Truma. Entrusted. It's a mitzvah for a Kohen to eat Truma. A Truma has Kedusha. A Truma cannot be eaten by a Zar. Truma is eaten by a Zar. That Zar who eats Truma is Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. So now, when a woman is married to a Kohen, she now is under the umbrella of the Kohen. She is allowed to eat Truma. At what point precisely can she eat the Truma? We discussed this yesterday, but let's discuss it again today. So a woman can eat Truma at what point? Well, at the point of Kedusha Min HaTorah, she's allowed to eat Truma. Why? Because as we pointed out yesterday, the Torah's description is that when a woman becomes Kinyan Kaspo, when she becomes the acquisition of the Kohen, and that comes at the point of Kedushin, so at that point in time, she's entitled to eat Truma. However, the Chachamim were concerned that if they allow this woman to eat Truma at this point in time, they're not living together, she and her husband. So she pays a visit to her husband. They sit down to dinner, have dinner together, she eats Truma, and then with the leftovers, she's going to bring it back to her own home. She's going to feed it to her family. The Chachamim were concerned. They are Zarim. She's not a Zar, but they are Zarim. So the Chachamim said that even though a woman who underwent Kedushin is allowed to eat Truma, but the Chachamim said no. And no until when? Until the point of Nisuin. At the point of Nisuin, now she has full license to go ahead and to eat Truma. This is all that we know already. We start with the Mishnah. Almana l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hejot. So let's say there is a bad shidduch. A bad shidduch over here, not trying to be judgmental, just simply, over here we're just talking about Isurim. And that is that you have now a mana who is prepared to marry a Kohen Gadol. Should not get married. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amana. You have a Grusha or a Chalutza prepared to marry a Kohen Hejot. They shouldn't get married. It's an Issur to get married. Grusha is an Issur d'Oraisa. Chalutza is an Issur d'Rabbanan, as we already pointed out earlier in our Masechta. Anyway, they're planning on getting married. So, on one hand, Mazel Tov. On the other hand, don't do it. But they're going to do it. So, lo yochlu b'truma. So, at that point in time, they're not allowed to eat truma. Now, they're not allowed to eat truma. So, at what point precisely are we talking about they're not allowed to eat truma? So, presumably, already at the point of Kedushin, they're not allowed to eat truma. Now, let's flesh this out a little bit more. Let's clear this up a little bit more. Okay, who's the woman over here? Obviously, the man's a Kohen. Obviously, he's allowed to eat Truma. So, who's the woman over here? So, presumably, the woman over here herself is a Bas Kohen. In other words, what we're learning together is that because she's married to somebody she's not allowed to marry, she will be inhibited, prevented from eating Truma that she was previously allowed to eat. That's presumably the Pshat in the Mishnah. That's Lo Yochlu B'Truma. They're not allowed to eat. They're not allowed to feed him Truma. Simply because the marriage itself is an illicit marriage. Okay, that is ostensibly the Pshat in the Mishnah. Is it possible that the Mishnah is also talking about where we're not talking about a Bas Kohen, but we're rather talking about a Bas Yisrael? It's a little bit more difficult. It's a little bit more challenging because a Bas Yisrael never historically was allowed to eat Truma. So over here, Lo Yochlu B'Truma, they're not allowed to eat Truma. They're a Bas Yisrael. They never were allowed to eat Truma. And the marriage is an illicit marriage. Okay, so. There is a way to say that our Mishnah is talking about a Bas Yisrael. Rashi over here endeavors to do so. We'll just stay with the simple pshat that she herself is a Bas Kohen. Anyway, because the marriage is an illicit marriage, so therefore she's not allowed to eat Truma. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirin. Now Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says that they are, that she would be kosher to do so. She would be allowed to eat Truma. Now, Nisarmala o Nisgarsha mina Nisuin, Psulos, mina Erisin Ksheris. Now, before we go on, let's go back to Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon for just a moment. Okay, now, we are in a situation in which a Grusha is marrying a Kohen. Okay? It's no good, meaning the Torah prohibits it. Okay. And they're doing so anyway. It happens. In other words, they shouldn't do it, but it happens. Let's focus on the following. Okay, there are two stages of marriage. There's Kedushin, there's Nisun. Now, at the point of Kedushin, he's Mekadisher. Already, that's an Avera. Okay, but is that now going to, is that going to change your status at this point in time? And the answer is no. Meaning, even though they violate a law in this marriage, a Kohen cannot marry a Grusha. But when we say cannot, meaning not permitted to marry a Grusha, but as we already know, we've gone over numerous times, it's a law, which meaning that there will be Tfisas Kedushin. The Kedushin will take effect. Okay. Is her status going to change at that point in time? No. She's violating a law in the Torah, but her status does not change. However, we'll get to in just a moment. However, when they go to the second stage of marriage and he has relations with her, so now at that point in time, she had a Bia Psula. She had now an act of intimacy, which was a disqualified act of intimacy, and now her status is going to change. What is she going to become at this point in time? It's what's called a chalala. In other words, by him having relations with her, so now what he's going to do is that he's going to be mischalal her. She will become hollow of her Kedushas Kahuna. She will no longer have any Kedushas Kahuna because of the act of intimacy that they had. The Bia will passel her. Now her children, in other words, we're not yet at the point of having children, although, obviously she could have children. The children are going to be chalalam as well. But right now our focus is on her. So, at the point of Kedushin, she violates the law. At the point of Nisuin, now she becomes a chalala. And so here comes now the critical point, which is that in the Mishnah, so there are two shitas in the Mishnah, the shita of Reb Meir and the shita of Reb Elazar and Rebbe Shimon. Now, according to Reb Meir, let's do this again. Reb Meir, by the way, is the Tanakhama, the anonymous Tanakhama. So, Amala Kohen Gadol Grusha Vechalutz Kohen Hejot Min Erisin Lo Yochlu B'Truma. So, already, according to Reb Meir, even though at Kedushin she's not a chalala, but she's going to be inhibited from eating truma. Now, why was she going to be prohibited from eating truma? Because she is not a chalala, but she is primed to become a chalala. Meaning, obviously, we know where this marriage is going. Meaning, Kedushin goes to Nisuin. Nisuin, they're going to have relations. So according to Reb Meir, because she is primed to becoming a chalala, so therefore already at this point in time, she will be prohibited from eating truma. Huh? She's a bas kohen.
Oh, she's a bas
kohen.
So she had the ability.
Right. There is another way to say the Mishnah, but I'm just going to say the Mishnah simply so that we can just streamline through the Mishnah. Yeah. So she was a bas kohen. She was allowed to eat truma, but once she has kedushin with this kohen, once our grusha has kedushin with this kohen, so now because she's primed to becoming a chalala, so therefore she cannot eat truma. Now Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon disagree. They say machshirin. They say that no. In other words, her status has not changed. Yes, she violated the Torah in marrying this kohen. She should not have accepted kedushin from this kohen. Granted. Okay, but she is not yet a chalala. And so therefore, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon will tell you that only at the point when she actually becomes a chalala, then and only then is she going to be prohibited from eating truma. Now, Nizamla is Garsha Min Nisuin, Psilos Min Eiris and Ksheris. Now, let's say she becomes a widow divorcee after Kedushin, but before Nisuin. So there, everyone would agree now that she can go back to eating truma. Meaning that even according to Reb Meir, Reb Meir says that at the point of Kedushin, she cannot eat truma because she's primed to being a chalala. Okay, but even Reb Meir will agree that for whatever reason, if the marriage terminates before Nisuin, either through death or divorce, so now she can go back and revert to becoming a truma eligible person, meaning she can go back to eating truma. Okay, fine. Adkan, that's the Mishnah. And basically, what is at the core of this Mishnah, the key machlokas of this Mishnah, is that we're looking at a woman who is not yet a chalala, but it clearly is setting herself up. She's putting herself in a position to becoming a chalala. As such, is she going to be banned and barred from eating truma at the point where she puts herself in that position? That's the machlokus in the Mishnah. The Gemara elaborates. Tanya. Amra Meir Kavachomer, Sura Meir says, look, I think that the argument is really strong. Kedusha Rishus Emachil and Kedusha Aver Lokol Shekain. Look at Kedusha Rishus in a marriage which is perfectly licensed, perfectly legitimate. Let's say a Yisrael marries a Bas Kohen. So Yisrael marrying a Bas Kohen. So at that point in time, she's no longer eligible to eat Truma. So over here, in the case where it's Kedusha Rishus, she can't eat Truma. So Kedusha Aver Lokol Shekain. So in the Kedusha Avera. So how much more so should we ban and restrict her from eating truma if the marriage itself is an illicit marriage? Amru lo. So they say back to Rav Meir, what kind of argument is that? Ima marta b'kedusha v'shus v'kein ein la lahachel b'makam acher. Tomer b'kedusha aver shekein yishol lahachel b'makam acher. What a terrible comparison. If you're looking at a Yisrael marrying a Bas Kohen, well, you see that at the point where they get married, she's already barred and banned from truma at the point of kedushin. Oh, so if a Kohen marries a Grusha, it's the same thing. What are you talking about? A Kohen marrying a Grusha, a Kohen married any other woman who he was licensed to marry, who he's allowed to marry, so he's enabling her to eat Truma. How are you comparing a Kohen marrying a woman to a Yisrael marrying a woman? The comparison is a really difficult, it's a really challenging comparison. Okay, so in the Brisa, we got a little more back and forth between Rav Meir and the Tanaim in terms of which of the positions are easier to defend. Okay. Adkan, that's obviously not the end, but just the beginning of the daf, but that got the whole ball rolling. So here we are in the middle of discussing now a situation in which a woman has undergone kedushin with a man that she cannot marry, a Kohen who she cannot marry, and at this point in time, is she restricted from eating truma? Machlokas HaTanaim. Amr of Elazar, Amr of Oshia. Psua Daka Kohen Shekidish Bas Yisrael. Okay, so let's discuss the following now. So there are a lot of moving parts to this next discussion. So just, I'm going to try to be as clear as possible and try to keep everything straight. So number one, the man is a Psua Daka. So his genitalia is somewhat mutilated. So and what do we know regarding such an individual? So first of all, Rachmana. Secondly, the Torah says that he cannot marry a Jew. Right, the pasuk says in Parshas Kisese, Psu Adaka Lo Yava Bekal Hashem. Okay, so he is now going to be banned from marrying a Jewish woman. Now there are women that he is allowed to marry. In other words, in terms of the details of the marriage and how intimacy works and so forth and so on, obviously that's going to require its own Shulchan Aruch. But regarding, however, just the allowance for them to get married, so a Psu Adaka can marry certain people, but not anyone who is a member of Kahal, not anyone who's a member of the congregation. Hold that thought. So Psua Daka Kohen. So now we're talking about a Kohen is a Psua Daka and Shekidish Bas Yisrael. And he's Mekarash Bas Yisrael and he's married now. Let me not use the word married because that's too vague and we have to be specific over here. And he's Mekadesh a Bas Yisrael, a Jewish woman. So now under these circumstances, Banal Machlok's Ramev Rav Laz Rabbi Shimon. So here now, machlokas, meaning, is our Kohen going to be able to enable her to eat truma, yes or no? So the answer, of course, is here's the problem. The problem is at the point of Kedushin, so was he allowed to marry her? The answer, no. Oh. Has her status changed as of yet? No, because the status changes only when he is boel her. Then and only then her status is going to change. Then and only then does she become a halala. Okay, so once again, she's primed for a bia psula. Oh, so it's basically the same question that we asked in our Mishnah. That's exactly the Gemara's point. Banal machlokes Rav Meir Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Rav Meir damar Mishnah metzla bia psula daraisa lo achla hanami lo achla. So according to Rav Meir, being primed for a bia psula already is going to ban you from eating truma. So here's the same thing. And the Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Darmi, Mishnah Meretz, Lebi Apsula, Daraisa Achla, Hanami Achla. And according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, so although you put yourself in a terrible position, you primed yourself for a Bi Apsula, but nevertheless, you are not going to be banned, restricted from eating Shuma at this point in time.
They're mutilated. How can you have
Bi? Yeah, so mutilation over here does not mean that they're not there. It just simply means that there are... It's Psua Daka and Krushavka. In other words, there's both.
But is Psua Daka not allowed to get married at all?
So no, in other words, he's not allowed to marry Bikal Hashem. And that we're going to clarify in just a couple minutes from now in terms of what exactly that means. So fine, so Hanami lo achla. So this now seems to be the same achlokas that we had in our Mishnah. Mimai. The Gemara says, I'm not so sure. Dilmad kan lo kami Rebbe Loz Rebbe Shimon Hasam Elo Diyesh lo lacha b'makam achir. Ava hacha dein lo lacha b'makam achir lo. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe Rebbe Loz and Rebbe Shimon will tell you that, look, in the case of the Mishnah, it's a Kohen and a Grusha. If the Kohen would have elected to marry anybody else, so he would have empowered her to eat Truma. It happens to be that he chose a Grusha. But elsewhere, he would have empowered. But over here, unfortunately, our Kohen is a Psua Daka. So who are his candidates? Who else can he marry? Now again, hold that thought, by the way, because there may be candidates in terms of who he's allowed to marry. But the general population is not allowed to marry. So maybe this case is not comparable to the case of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, wait one second. I just thought of a candidate who can marry. He can marry the daughter of a convert. Now, why can he marry the daughter of the convert? So I'm going to ask you just to wait a moment. We're going to come back to that. We're going to explain that a little bit better. So, but there is somebody that he can marry. Maybe, right? Question mark. So the Gemara says, "Vahami bye Rabbi Yochanan mi Rabbi Yoshia v'lo pashit lei." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but remember, Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yoshia." I say, "Remember," as if like we all knew this. Okay, we're good. By the end of today's daf, we're gonna know. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yoshia the question whether or not Kohen Psua Daka is allowed to marry a Bas Gerim. Now it happens to be that Rabbi Yoshia's answer is, "I don't know." Great question. So whether or not it is even a possibility, Rabbi Yoshia himself couldn't answer this question. So, Itmar by Amar. So this is now the Gemara's continuation. Itmar usually resets the discussion, not over here. Rashi says, we are answering the question. Itmar. Abai Amar ho ma'achila below yad'a. So Abai is of the position that, look, what he can do is that he could feed her truma if they are not intimate with one another. The way Rashi understands it is as follows. Is that, look, if, let's say, a Kohen were to marry a woman, and then he becomes the Psua Daka post-Nisuin. So, again, a real Rachmanus, but, in other words, is she allowed to eat Truma? Sure. In other words, their marriage went through both Kedushin and Nisuin, and legitimate. And so now, in a post-Nisuin state, where unfortunately he became a Psua Daka, so under those circumstances, as long as he doesn't have relations with her, so she can continue to go eat truma, because it's only the act of relations that's going to change her status and make her a halala. So over here, so you see Abaye says that once you started eating truma, you're allowed to do so. And Rav Amar ho machla b'avada v'shivchos avakananim. And Rav is of the position that, look, as far as a Kohen is concerned, even if it's a psua daka, so I can talk about other situations in which he can enable, and that, of course, is his avadim. We know that the Eved of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, right? It sounds a little bit strange. Meaning, right, the vast majority of the Jewish people are not allowed to eat Truma by punishment of Misa B'dei Shamayim. Meanwhile, the Eved, who generally speaking does not have the same Kedusha as that of Yisrael, if the Eved is owned by a Kohen, the Eved is allowed to eat Truma. Okay, fine. Why? Because the Eved is Kenyan Kaspo. So, the point of the Gemara is, the point of Rava is that our Psua Daka Kohen, so is he an enabler? The answer is yes. He can enable his avadim to go ahead and eat truma. So the argument of, you know, who can he enable to eat truma? Abaye and Rava both say there are cases. Abaye looks at the case in which he's married to a woman, Kedushin and Nisuin, and becomes a Psua Daka post. So he can enable his wife to eat truma. Again, provided that they don't have Biyah after him becoming a Psua Daka. And Rav is focusing on the fact that he can enable his avadim to eat truma. Just give me a moment. And then the Gemara just simply points out, Abai and Rav are focusing on two different aspects. Why didn't they like the other aspect? Abai lo amar karava kinyan de'ishas, mekinyan de'ishas, yafin v'lo yafin, kinyan de'ishas, mekinyan de'avadim. As far as Abai is concerned, he wanted to focus more on the marriage aspect of it. That's why he chose his case, because it's a marriage case. And Rav lo amar kabai shani hasam shekvar achla. And as far as Rava was concerned, so the argument of the wife of the Kohen Psua Daka, who becomes the Psua Daka after Nisuin, so that wasn't a good model because she already was eating. And since she was already eating truma, so it's a much different discussion to continue eating truma versus the initial enabling and ability to eat truma. And that's why Rava didn't like Abaye's approach. And then v'Abaye shekvar achla lo aminan. And as far as Abaye is concerned, this idea of kvar achla, well, you are already eating truma, so just continue eating truma. So as far as Abaye is concerned, that didn't bother him whatsoever, because the ilote mahachi basi sol shenisos a kohen umeis techol shekvar achla. Because consider, Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen. Well, now she's been eating truma. Her husband dies. Well, I used to eat truma. I can still eat truma. Obviously, that's a ridiculous argument, meaning it's simply not true. And V'Rava, Hasam Paka Kinyana, Chalo Paka Kinyana. Now, Rava will counter and say to Abaye, well, that's not relevant to our discussion. If a Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen and then the husband dies, so that's it, meaning Kinyan's over. So obviously, she can't eat truma. Over here, we're talking about where they went through both Kedushin and Nisuin, and then he becomes the Psua Daka afterwards, so the Kinyan doesn't go away. So this is not the same as the Bas Yisrael married to a regular Kohen. Okay, so
the question I have is, I don't know why, how they could bring this case, because a Bas Ger cannot marry a Kohen to begin with. Forget about...
You're ahead. You're ahead, and I'm going to give you more information. Okay, so and then you'll ask your question. Okay, so where do we stand right now? The question on the table is the Ptsua Daka Kohen marrying a Bas Yisrael, and the question on the table is that going to be our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is looking at a case of a Kohen and a Grusha going through Kiddushin and then going through Nisuin. Now at the point of Nisuin, there's nothing more to talk about. The Kohen now had relations with the Grusha. He now made her a Chalala. In other words, let's assume, again, I'm just going to say a simple Pshat in the Mishnah. She already was a Bas Kohen, and now they have relations. She's having a prohibited relations. She becomes a Chalala. The word Chalal means hollow. All of her Kedushas Kohuna now is taken away from her. Fine. So, and at that point in time, she is no longer going to be able to eat Truma. Not only is she going to be a Chalala, her children are going to be Chalala. Fine. Okay. So the only question that we discussed in our Mishnah and in Machlokas HaTanayim is when she's primed for this Bia Psula, i.e. they underwent Kiddushin. Is she going to be banned, restricted from eating Truma at that point in time? Machlokas in the Mishnah between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Meir is of the position that primed for a Bia Psula bans you and restricts you from Truma, and Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Shimon says no. That not true. In other words, you only are going to be banned when you actually have the Bia Psula. But just because you're primed for a Bia Psula is not going to restrict you. Good. That's a machlokas in the Mishnah. And then the Gemara says, you know, similar question, Kohen Psua Daka. So he's married to a woman. They go through Kedushin. Is she going to be banned and restricted from eating Truma because she's primed for a Bia Psula? And then the Gemara says, wait one second. Who is our Kohen Psua Daka going to marry? Who is he going to marry? So then the Gemara says, well, remember the question that Rav Yochanan asked Rav Oshia? Can our Kohen Gadol Psua Daka, can he marry a Bas Ger? And the Gemara says, but remember, Rav Oshia didn't have an answer. Ah. So now, when I say remember, meaning none of us remember, because, in other words, we're years away from that encounter, good. But now, Gufa. So now, we're going to remind ourselves, meaning we're going to go back now to that discussion. In terms of whether or not a Kohen Psua Daka is allowed to marry a Bas Gerim. In other words, take away Kohen from the sentence Psua Daka. So who can Psua Daka marry? Psua Daka cannot marry anyone who is a member of Kahal Hashem. Psua Daka lo yavo b'kal Hashem. So if you qualify and are considered part of Kahal Hashem, so you can not, so Psua, so you are banned, you're barred from marrying a Psua Daka. Okay, so now, if you're a Ger, now, this discussion over here is strictly halachic. In other words, this is not any kind of, this is not class warfare, this is a simple halachic discussion. And that is when somebody is a ger, so are they part of Kahal Hashem, they're part of the Jewish people, they're obligated all the mitzvahs of the Torah, right? They will have all rights, privileges of a Jew. Do they get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? The answer, of course, is no. They don't have a Yerusha. In other words, and on top of that also, it very well may be that they don't qualify as of being put into this category of Kahal Hashem. Now, in a certain regard, that can work in their favor, because people who a Psua Daka cannot marry, so they would be allowed to marry. Now, so now here comes the question. Okay, a Bas Gerim, can a Bas Gerim marry a Psua Daka? Let's up the question a little bit more. Can a Bas Gerim marry a Psua Daka Kohen? Can a Kohen marry a Ger?
No.
No. Can a Kohen marry a Bas Gerim? Hold that thought. Okay. So, I understand that, but you know the conclusion. Okay. We are going to, in other words, we're going to go through the Gemara. The Gemara is not the conclusion.
We discussed it about a week ago.
Okay, good. And we're going to discuss it today. Gufa, Baimine, Rabbi Yochanan, me Rabbi Yosha. Psua Daka, Kohen Shanasa, Bas Gerim. Maushi, Achilena, Betruma. So, if I have a Kohen Gadol, Psua Daka. Did I say Kohen Gadol? I did. Okay, doesn't have to be Kohen Gadol. So, Psua Daka, Kohen. So, married to a Bas Gerim. So, Maushi, Achilena, Betruma. Is she going to be able to eat Truma? Ishtik, Velo Amrle, Velo Midi. So, Rav Oshia's answer is, he didn't answer, meaning he doesn't know. So Lesof Asagav Rabachrino Vamine Milsachrita Pashale Umane Reish Lakish. And so they went to a Gavarab, a great person, they asked him, and happens to have been Reish Lakish. So Amale Rav Yehuda Sila Rav Oshia Atu Rav Yochanan Lav Gavarabahu. So Rav Yochanan is not a Gavarab. Amale the Kabamine Milsa Delay Slay Patre. I asked him a question that he was unable to answer. Okay. Now the Gemara over here, the way Rashi understands it, and now the Gemara is going to go, and the Gemara is going to explain to us the back and forth that was going on in Rav Oshia's mind. Meaning, why is it that Rav Oshia was unable to answer this question? It is, as we're going to see together, a most difficult question with a couple of moving parts over here. And what I'm going to try to do, as I always try to do, is try to be as clear as possible to all the dynamics and moving parts that are going on in this question. A Psua Daka. Kohen Psua Daka, married to a Bas Gerim, whether or not he's allowed to feed her Truma. Leman. Ila Rabbi Yehuda. So are we going to be discussing it according to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda? Now, what I'll tell you at the front end is a Bas Gerim allowed to marry a Kohen, yes or no? The answer is it's a Machlokas. Machlokas HaTanayim. And not only is it a Machlokas HaTanayim, there are three opinions on this matter. And I'll say them to you outside. There's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Okay, now, Shita of Rabbi Yossi is that even if both mom and dad are Gerim, the daughter's allowed to marry a Kohen. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends who is the mother, who's the father. According to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, if the father is Yisrael and the mother's a Giyares, mutter. If the father is a Ger and the mother is a Yisraelis Aser. And then there's the Shita of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, which we're going to introduce to ourselves to in just a moment. Okay, but right now, let's just focus on these two, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, because I'm just presenting it in the way that in the order the Gemara is presenting it. So Laman. So the Gemara says, let's consider now. Psua Daka Kohen marrying a Bas Gerim. So Ila Rabbi Yehuda, Bein B'Kedusha Seikai, lo achla. So the Gemara says, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, the answer should be unequivocally no. Why? Lo achla. So the Gemara says, because consider the following. So if it's bikdusha say, so then no, because the hamar mar bas ger zachar ke bas kalal zachar, because consider that the Gemara in Kedushin teaches us that a Bas Ger Zachar, meaning dad himself is a Ger, is going to pass his Ger status to the child, much like if dad is a Chalal, so that status also goes to the child as well. Bas Ger Zachar ke Bas Chalal Zachar. And so therefore that means to say that just like a Chalal father passes his Chalalness, I know it sounds funny, but it passes his Chalalness onto his child, so too, Bas Ger Zachar is going to pass his Ger status onto the child, which now means what? So that would mean that the that the child would not be able to eat truma. And ilav b'kedusha say kai lo achla d'armin akal gerim ikre kal. And the and alternatively, if not in a state of kedusha, so the so then no, because kal gerim is ikre kal, meaning that the ger is going to be falling into the category of kahal, and the psua daka would not be allowed to marry kahal, which means then that if our Kohen Psuadaka marries a Bas Gerim and they have Kahal status, so then the child is in fact going to be a Halal. And now, so that means to say that according to Rav Yehuda, whichever way we're going to toggle, so then there will be ineligibility for the child to eat Truma. Now, Ile Rabbi Yossi, Ben B'Kedusha Sekai, Ben La B'Kedusha Sekai, Achla. So the Gemara says, now let's go to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Now remember, according to Rabbi Yossi, a Kohen is allowed to marry a Gioris. Sorry, I said that wrong. No. The Kohen is allowed to marry a Bas Gerim, even if both mom and dad are both Gerim. Now, Ile Rabbi Yossi. So according to the Shita Rabbi Yossi, Ben B'Kedusha Sekai, Ben La B'Kedusha Sekai, Achla, B'Kedusha Sekai, Achla, Daha Amar Av Ger Shenasa Gioris Bito Ksher L'Kahuna. Because Rabbi Yossi is of the position that even if mom and dad are Gerim, the child is allowed to marry Kohen. And e lav b'kedusha say kai achla damar kal gerim lo ikre kal. And it also happens to be the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that that kal gerim is not considered kahal. And so that means to say that there would be total legitimacy for the psua daka to marry a ger. And in this case, not a ger, but a bas gerim, because the bas gerim is not considered part of Kahal, and therefore there's no violation for the Psua Daka to marry the Bas Gerim. Okay, Ella. So where do we stand right now? We stand on the question of whether or not a Psua Daka Kohen marrying a Bas Gerim, whether or not they're allowed to eat Truma, yes or no. So it is a twofold question. Question number one is that when going from the parents to the children, so are they going to get Kedushas Yisrael, yes or no? Machlokis amongst the Tanaim. Right now, we're just focusing on the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. It's a machlokis amongst the Tanaim. So that is question number one. Question number two is that even if you achieve the status of having kedusha, can the Psua Daka marry such an individual? Meaning, are they ever going to enter into the category of being kahal? That too is a machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. And so in this two-layered question, so the Gemara says, it just happens to work out that for the Shita of Rav Yehuda, he will say no to both of them, and therefore there will be no enabling of the Psua Daka Kohen to feed his wife Truma. And according to Rav Yossi, the answer would be yes. Okay. Ella. Aliba Daitana did not, so the Gemara says, so when Rav Oshia was now entertaining this question, if he either subscribed to Rabbi Yossi or he subscribed to Rabbi Yehuda, the answer would be yes or no, depending on which one he followed. So the Gemara says, so where does his question lie? It lies with the following. Aliba dahatana did non Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Isha Baskerim, Lo Sinas Elakuhuna Achete Ima, Miyisrael. The sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that a Baskerim cannot marry a Kohen until the mother is Jewish. So in other words, the only way that a Bas Gerim can go ahead and marry a Kohen is only if mom was a Jew.
Grandchild,
okay, right.
Right. Right.
Again, the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is as long as mom is a Jew, so then the child can marry a Kohen. So the Hachikami Baile. So now the following. So now, Kashrus Mitusva Ba, V'Achla, Odilma, Kedusha mitusava velo achla. And so now, obviously what happens is that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so the child gets a bump. Meaning, so this child now who's a Bas Gerim, so she is going to get a bump. Now, the question becomes the following, how big a bump does she get? Is she getting to the point of Kashrus, or is she getting up to the point of Kedusha? Look at Rashi. Kashrus itosava verui lekahuna. So at that point in time now, she is getting the point of kashrus where she's allowed to marry a Kohen. V'lav kedusha le'ikru kahal. But in other words, but not all the way to the point where she is going to be able to be called kahal. Okay. And in this particular regard, that's going to help her. Okay. I know all this sounds strange, but again, as long as you're, and I know this is complicated, but as long as you're following the dynamics over here, meaning the eligible husband who would like to marry her is a kohen psua daka. So on one hand, a kohen can't marry a ger, and a kohen can't marry, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Remember, this is now the litigation of the question according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, a kohen can't marry a ger, kohen can't marry the child of a giyares. However, if mom is a Jew and dad is a ger, so the kohen is allowed to marry that person. Either that person now elevates in status to becoming kosher, but not kahal. Now, in this particular regard, that's good. Why? Because he's not only a kohen, but he's also a psua daka. And the psua daka is not allowed to marry a member of the kahal. So if the bump is only up to being kosher, that's great, says Rashi. V'lav kedusha likra kahal mutaros l'psua daka v'ochalos mimanavshach. Now, good. So now she's allowed to marry him and she can eat shuma. Dinam bidusha say kai harezu mutaros lo. U'mishum psua daka lo mitzar ba dehalo ikra kahal. So as far as the Kedusha is concerned, so she moves up to the status of being kosher, being allowed to marry our Kohen, because the Kohen was a Psua Daka, and she's not a Kahal, which allowed the marriage, so it's a totally sanctioned marriage. On the other hand, if let's say, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, when Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that the Bas Gerim, where mom was a Yisrael, dad was a Ger, and now the child is allowed to marry a Kohen, so are we now saying that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's not that the child gets a bump up to becoming kosher, but the child gets a bump up to becoming Kedusha Yisrael? Look at Rashi. Oh, next Rashi. Odilma, Kedusha Nami Tosoba, Vikal Ikre, called now a status of being Kahal, Vasur L'Psua Daka, now prohibited to the Psua Daka, V'lo Achla, and therefore now would not be able to eat, because she's now at the position where she is, strange as it is, right? She's the child of a convert, and now she's engaging in a prohibited marriage because she's marrying a Psua Daka, and she has the status of Kedusha Yisrael. She's a member of Kahal. Okay, so this was the question of Rabbi Oshia, meaning Rabbi Oshia Suffolk was that he didn't subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Oshia. He didn't subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, he subscribed to the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that the daughter of a Ger Bas Yisrael is in fact a Kshera, allowed to marry a Kohen. The only question is, what elevation did she get in her ability to marry a Kohen? Is she a Kshera, or is she now have the Kedusha Yisrael? So, in other words, for a regular Kohen, don't make a difference. We're allowed to marry either one of them. But for a Kohen Psua Daka, that's going to be the difference. And that will make the difference in terms of whether she can eat Truma or not eat Truma. And that was the suffix of Rav Oshia. Okay. Admittedly, that was a really long and complicated sentence. But that's why Rav Oshia, when asked a question by Rav Yochanan, was dumbstruck, meaning he didn't know how to answer, and he didn't know how to answer. And now we are into the mind of Rabbi Oshia, and now we know what he was struggling with. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, as long as we're here. So let's answer the question. Rav Acha came from the south. He brought a brisa with him. How do I know Psua Daka Kohen married to a Bas Gerim? Okay, so we have a brisa, and the brisa says that we're Kohen Psua Daka, dealing exactly with our question, Kohen Psua Daka, who marries a Bas Gerim, is allowed to feed her truma. Okay, Liman. Question. This brisa, who is the following? Elam the Rav Yehuda Amar, Ben Bektusha Sekai, Ben La Bektusha Sekai, Lo Achla. So the sheet of Rav Yehuda is, cannot do it, because Rav Yehuda is of the position that the marriage was not sanctioned. And the Elam Rav Yossi, Lamali Kra, Amar, Ben Bektusha Sekai, Ben La Bektusha Sekai, Achla. And as far as the sheet of Rav Yossi is concerned, he's allowed to feed her truma, but I don't even need a drasha. So Elalav leRabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So the author of the brisa must be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Shmamina ksheros itosav above achla shmamina. So the Gemara says that the author of this brisa is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And look, she is now the daughter of a mom was a Yisrael, dad was a ger, and she got a bump up. But what bump up did she get? She got the bump up to kashrus, not to kedusha, which means now that she is allowed to marry our kohen psuadaka, and therefore she's allowed to eat truma. And so therefore shmamina, meaning that although Rav Oshia, apparently he didn't have this brisa, right? That's what it sounds like from the Gemara, meaning he brought the brisa in from the south, he didn't have the brisa, whatever the case is, and the conclusion is that the Rav Elazar ben Yaakov would say it's acceptable for the kohen psuadaka to feed his wife truma. Okay. A psuadaka can marry a mamzer? Yep. Yeah. The Gemara in Kedushin, the fourth parak, goes over all the permutations of who can marry who, right? Remember that first mission, the fourth parak of Kedushin, there are 10 categories of Jewish people, right? Starts with Kohen Levi Yisrael, and then it goes on from there. And and who exactly can marry who? But yes, the simple answer is yes. Itmar, okay, so we are done with really the difficult part of today's daf that admittedly was a real challenging piece of Gemara. Where are we right now in terms of today's daf? We're mostly done. We just have a little bit more to go. The next topic happens to be a huge topic, but just a quick mid-daf summary, and that is that a woman married to a Kohen can eat truma. However, if let's say the marriage itself is an illicit marriage, so and they only went through Kedushin, and they haven't yet arrived at the point of Nisuin, and her status gets changed at Nisuin, because having relations with a man prohibited to her will make her a halala. So what at the point of Kiddushin is she already restricted and banned from eating truma? Machlokas Satanaim. Machlokas between Rameir and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon. And Rameir is of the position that being primed for a Bia Psula will already restrict her from eating truma. Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon is of the position that no, only at the point of Nisun is she going to be banned and restricted from eating truma.
But I thought even a regular woman.
So again, the simple way to say the Mishnah, I did this from the beginning of the daf. The simplest way to say the Mishnah, she herself is a bas kohen. Okay. You can say the Mishnah another way. I'm just going to say it simple. Okay, so she's a bas kohen. She already was entitled to eat it. But again, prime for a bia psula, she's going to be banned from eating truma. That's the basic machlokas. That's the main part of today's daf. And then where the daf got difficult, in other words, it really got complicated, is where the Gemara wanted to know, well, what if, let's say, he's a kohen psuadaka and he marries a woman, so primed for a bia psula. Is that, and the Gemara says, what kind of question is that? Who can in other words, a regular kohen can marry pretty much anyone and enable it to eat truma. Who's a psuadaka kohen going to marry? And then the Gemara from there entertains the idea that maybe a psuadaka kohen can marry a bas gerim. But that becomes complicated because can a Kohen marry a Bas Gerim? Machlokas. Three ways. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yochanan asked the question to Rabbi Oshia. Rabbi Oshia didn't know the answer. Rabbi Oshia was entertaining within whose position? What we learned is that he was entertaining within Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And what would Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say? Rabbi Oshia didn't know. And then we quoted a Brisa at the end of the whole Sugya, where the Brisa presumably is going like the Sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And the Brisa says that, at least within the Sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, she would be able to eat truma. Shmamina. Okay, Itmar. Rav Amar yesh chupa lipsulos. Okay, so let's see the Rashi over here on the top of the Amud Beis, and let's try to navigate. As I already discussed at the beginning of today's shir, there are two parts of marriage. There is Kiddushin, there is Nisuin. And generally speaking, that's the order, meaning first you're Mekadesh, and then afterwards you do Nisuin. Back in the good old days, in the beginning of Ksuvos, we will discuss this at length. And there was a year interval between Kedushin and Nisuin. Okay? Nowadays, there's about 7 minutes. It depends on how long it takes the rabbi to read the Ksuva. Okay? We have taken the two stages and we have consolidated them into one event. There are still two steps, meaning that's immutable. But what we have done is that we've just simply taken them and we put them back to back, with the only separation being the reading of the Ksuva. Okay, just good fun information to know, and that is that there is no legal significance of the reading of the Ksuva at the wedding. In fact, if you think about it, it is one of the strangest things that we do. Hey, here's all your obligations that you have to your wife. In other words, we don't understand it. It's an Aramaic, so So for us, it's just, okay, right, the rabbi receives the covenant of reading the ksuva. But when you think about it, or we're reading a legal document, everyone's spellbound, right? It's just, all it's doing, its purpose is to serve as a break between the Kedushin and the Nisuin. That's its function. Okay, anyway, but back in the day, there was a year separating the two. And, as you can imagine, the proper order, of course, is Kedushin, followed then by Nisuin. The easiest way to think about it is that the Kedushin sets up the context in which now you're going to be able to do Nisuin.
Okay.
And they would do the, I mean, right. In other words, right. The families would meet. The families would make sure that, you know, they're happy with one another financially, and that's it. And then they would do the kedushin, and then a year later they would do the nisuin. Good. Now, here's a question. It's going to really cook our noodles, and that is, can I flip the two? Can I put the nisuin in front of the kedushin? I know it sounds like a strange question. It's Maimer. Very good. Very good, by the way. Danny, I like that. Right? Maimer after Yibum. What's Maimer after Yibum? Okay, so. Yesh chup amar rav yesh chup lepsulos rav shmul amar in chup lepsulos. Okay, so. Machlokus between rav and shmul is as follows. If let's say we go right to chuppah, look at the Rashi on the top of the Amud Beis. I'm reading the Rashi. Yesh chuppah lepsulos ki kohen gadol sheichnis amana bas kohen lechuppah. So let's say the kohen gadol says to the amana, look, I know I'm the kohen gadol, and I know I am the highest level of spirituality here in the Jewish people, but let's get married. Right. And not only let's get married, and I know the Torah says I'm not allowed to marry you, but not only let's get married, but let's go right to the chuppah. Okay, so. The narrative I just provided, in other words, it's an impetuous act to begin with. Okay, fine. So they go straight to chuppah. V'lo ba'alau. I'm sorry. So Abbas calling the chuppah v'lo ba'alau. And they didn't have relations. Now, okay, again, this is strange. Meaning, it's chuppah. What is chuppah? Okay, that in of itself is a wonderful question. But we're just naming it. So they went straight to chuppah. They didn't do kiddushin, and they didn't have relations. Now Rashi, of course, has to say that because remember, if in fact they have relations, game over. In other words, now she's a halal, and now she can't eat truma. Umi karanam lo kitcha. And again, Rashi says that there was no kiddushin. Afilo hachi pasumi truma de beinasha. So she will be prohibited from eating truma de chuppah chechnisas beila damya. Here are the key lines of Rashi because the chuppah. The second part of the marriage, of being under the chuppah, is kiknisas bi'ila damya. It is bi'ila equivalent. Wow. It's bi'ila equivalent. Now, Rashi, I'm sorry, Tosos over here writes, give me a second. Tosos over here points out, near l'rila farish l'fishitas akuntras, de'pilgi b'chuppah below kesef. Meaning, and the way I just described it. Meaning, the re-explains Rashi the way I presented it. And yes, in other words, in anticipation of the daf today. So obviously, you know, I took a look, and the Rav Shmuel Savik Rav Huna the Islay Breish Kedushin the Chuppah Kona. In other words, is Chuppah able to create any kind of acquisition, even though the Chuppah was done without the Kedushin? And the Gemara in Kedushin in the beginning of the Masechta discusses it. And so over here we're entertaining this view. The Kama Rav the Chi Heched the Kanu Kedushin Chuppah Bekashus Hachinami Kana Bepsulos. And now Rav is making the following point. Just like chuppah is able to create some form of kinyan for good, it's also able to create some form of kinyan for bad. Bad in this context means that she will now be restricted and banned from eating truma because they did the chuppah together. Shmuel Amar says no. Shmuel Amar in chuppah lepsulos. And Shmuel's of the position that no, that chuppah by itself does not create any kind of kinyan or be'ila equivalent, and will not ban her and not restrict her. Amar Shmuel Amodili Abbas. So Shmuel says, look, here's where Rav is going to agree. Whenever Shmuel describes Rav, he calls him Abba. Rashi over here writes, it's a term of affection, endearment, and real reverence. So, betinokus p'chusam ibas gemoshanam v'yom ha'achad, hove ein labia ein lechuppah. So a child under 3 years of age, so there's no bia. In other words, bia is simply not it is not regarded as any kind of legal change. So neither is chuppah going to be any kind of change. Amar Rava, afa namitanina. And Rava says, we know this, meaning this is a brisa. The brisa is quoted a number of times throughout Shas. Here it is again. Bashal shanim yamecha miskadeshes bibia. A three-year-old, anyone over 3 years of age can have kedushin performed with bia. Now again, it does not speak to our modern society that we live in for a child 3 years and above to have bia. In other words, it is criminal activity in the world that we live in. Okay, but go back to a day where the people got married at a young age. Remember, I've mentioned this numerous times before. You don't have this. Is not ancient history. Right, the Gedolim of three generations ago got married at 12, 14, 13 years of age. This was normal back just a short number of years ago. I'm just able to look at this from the halachic construct, and that is that bia is only regarded as a legal significant act only from 3 years and above. Anything below that, it's just simply not significant. So, kiddushin is affected from 3 years and above. Yibum is affected from 3 years and above. She's a married woman. Another man has relations with her. That's considered an act of adultery. She herself, obviously, will not be put to death. She's a katana. But the man who engages in an adulterous relationship with her, if he's above age, is going to be put to death. And also, all the rules of Tuma are in force, without going into the details right now. She's married to a Kohen, she can eat Truma. Anyone disqualified has relations with her, she becomes disqualified. And this is now just Shmuel finishing his point, which is that if there's an eligibility for disqualification within Bia, there is also eligibility for disqualification with Chuppah. Okay, and if there's no eligibility for disqualification of bia, there's no eligibility for disqualification of chuppah shmamina. So all Shmuel said over here, the entire Amud Beis, is just Shmuel acknowledging, me and Rav, we're arguing about this issue of whether chuppah by itself is significant or insignificant. He holds it significant, I hold it's insignificant. Okay, good, we're debating. But I just want to share with you that if there's no eligibility for bia, there's no eligibility for chuppah. Even Rav will agree with me with that. Under 3 years of age, no eligibility for bia, no eligibility for chuppah. That's our point of agreement. But in general, however, we disagree regarding the legal significance of chuppah by itself. And obviously, this discussion continues tomorrow. We will continue this discussion tomorrow. First part of today's daf, if a woman is primed for bia psula, is she already restricted from eating truma? Machlokas tanayim. With a then lengthy and complicated discussion regarding, can a Kohen Psua Daka marry anybody? The answer is maybe. Okay, that's the short version of a really long Gemara. And then the second half of today's daf, chuppah by itself carry with it any kind of legal significance? Rav and Shmuel debate this very issue. We continue tomorrow.